Come before you to thank you for this time that you've given us to get into your word, Lord, to study it. I pray you would bless our time together in it with you, Lord, and that you would speak to us the things that you would have us to learn. We love you and we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled the message, Using Faith in Everyday Life, and I'm going to take my text from Luke chapter 8. Verses 4 to 15. I guess I can safely say this. There is not a person who has ever lived who didn't have faith. I mean, they at least had faith in something or in someone. The difference between the believer and those who aren't saved isn't that one has faith and the other doesn't, because they both have faith. The difference is in the object of their faith, and that faith is only as good as the object. In Luke 8, verse 4, and when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to Jesus from every city, spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And Jesus said, "To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Jesus spoke in parables. The purpose was of holding back truth about himself and the kingdom of heaven from the people. Why did he do that? He did that because the people rejected him. They couldn't understand the deeper things he now needed to reveal about the kingdom. This parable deals with the beginning or origins of the kingdom. It's compared to a farmer sowing seed. The seed, of course, is the gospel of the kingdom. The soil is the heart of mankind. The emphasis in this parable is on the various kinds of hearts and how they will either reject or receive the message of the gospel. The first type of soil is the hard heart. This is where many are today. Because the soil is hard, the seed falls and only lies on the surface. It doesn't sink in. What happens is the birds, which Jesus compares to the devil, or the devil's workers, they soon snatch it away. So, what makes man's heart so hard? There's only one answer: sin. The heart continues to harden until it comes to a point where the person doesn't even care anymore. The Apostle Paul described this type of person in Romans chapter 1. Those of you are very familiar with that. People begin by suppressing the truth about God that may be known to them from nature itself. So when people get to that place, it's why they don't go to church anymore. It's a sign of where they are spiritually. They plunge into spiritual ignorance and degradation that inevitably follows. Lastly, not only do they practice the sins of people doing evil that at one time they might have condemned, they also approve of them in their sin. Sin leads to a rejection of God and God's truth. The rejection of truth leads to even greater sin. You know, I've had to search my heart, and I asked myself, what leads a person to reject the truth of God in the first place? I mean, they know better. They know better. Well, according to the Apostle Paul, it's a determined opposition to the nature of God himself. Paul describes it as human godlessness or wickedness. All of God's attributes, his sovereignty, his holiness, his omniscience, his immutability, or his love, are so offensive to the natural man, if he even understands what they're about. Instead of repenting of sin and turning for mercy to God who is sovereign, to a God who is holy, to a God who is knowing, I mean, he knows all things, to a God that is unchangeable, people suppress the knowledge they have. They refuse to seek out the knowledge that could and should be for their salvation. You want to know why America is in a declining moral state today? I'm going to tell you. You ready for this? It's because the people of America love sin. They love to sin. I mean, that's the message of Romans 1 in 5 words. Because the people love sin. The opposition of man's unregenerate heart to God's sovereignty is seen in the kingdom parables. Kingdom means rule, and rule is the same as sovereignty. When Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, he came preaching God's right to rule over the minds and hearts of all people. They didn't like that. They wanted to rule over their own minds and hearts. I mean, that's the issue. That's exactly what people don't want. They want to rule themselves. They want to do what they want apart from God. Adam had an incredible freedom. I mean, think about it. But he was offered by what he saw as God's unreasonable restriction of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God exercised his sovereignty at that point. You know the story. It was there Adam rebelled, falling into death, and carrying the rest of mankind with him. This spirit of rebellion against God's sovereignty has worked itself out in history until eventually Jesus had to come to earth. And what was the response of his people? We won't have this man rule over us. Amazing. 2,000 years later, and nothing has changed today. This is probably the greatest reason for the rejection of the gospel of God's grace in his Son, Jesus Christ. The second type of soil is the shallow heart. Jesus described it as soil covering rocky places. You see, when the seed fell, it only had a shallow depth, which caused it to spring up quickly and then quickly fade in the sun's heat because it had no root. Many people fit into this description. In fact, I'll go even farther and say we see them in our churches. Their shallow hearts are attracted to the excitement where things seem to be going on. Things seem to be clicking, man. It's happening. They hear the gospel, They're excited. They even seem to fit in. In fact, they make a profession of faith. But when difficulty arises, when things aren't going their way, when tough times hit, all the loss of a job, misunderstandings with other Christians, maybe sickness or some disease, or it could even be a relationship that's gone bad. Just as they once seemed to be so excited about the Lord and embrace the faith, they fall away because they were never rooted or truly born again. The third type of soil represents a crowded heart, a heart strangled by the things of this life. You know, it's interesting how many times Jesus warns against riches. Matthew 19:23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Mark 10:25. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. On one occasion in Luke chapter 18, a rich young man turned away because Jesus told him to sell everything he had, give to the poor, and the rich man wasn't willing to do that. We're choked with riches. We have vehicles. We have houses. We have all kinds of toys. If we're blessed, we have money in the bank. We have a lot of other things. We have all the modern gadgets of our materialistic culture. But what we need to understand is riches don't choke a person all at once. It's a gradual process. Like the thorns in the Lord's parable, riches grow up gradually. They begin to strangle any and all budding of spiritual life within the individual. Things, relationships, and other enjoyments strangle out what the Lord is saying in His Word. What happens is those who were once so fired up about the Lord, fired up about His work, now have put everything on the back burner. They're no longer doing anything for the kingdom. In fact, they're back doing their own thing. They're doing their own trip. The fourth and last type of soil is where the parable has been building. The open heart. The open heart that receives the gospel like good soil receives seed. But only a portion of the preaching of the gospel bears fruit. Jesus didn't get everyone to believe. You just don't see that in the scriptures. So don't think you failed because people reject you. The only evidence of a genuinely receiving God's word is spiritual fruit. That brings up the question, do people see spiritual fruit in your life? Do they see it? Now, even though we aren't saved by good works, no spiritual fruit could indicate the person may never have been saved in the first place, or they've just given up on service for the Lord to live their lives for themselves. The heart that becomes obedient to God's word, faithful to God's service, that's the heart that opens itself up to Jesus Christ. What's interesting is this parable shows Jesus wasn't impressed by the amount of people who followed him. It wasn't about the numbers. He knew most of them didn't hear God's word. He knew that, which would mean they didn't receive it into their hearts. Something we need to remember here. The fault doesn't lie with the sower or with the seed. The problem lies with the soil. It lies with the heart. A parable starts as something that's familiar. It then becomes a mirror. where we see ourselves. And you know what? People don't like to see themselves. But if we see ourselves as sinners in need and we ask for help, then the mirror becomes a window where God can see us and we can see Him in His grace. Everyone who receives a seed becomes a sower. If we keep it to ourselves, we'll lose it. But if we share it, we'll receive more. Jesus took this as an opportunity to teach another spiritual lesson. That is, being a part of His spiritual family is more important than any human relationship. And it's based on being obedient to God's word. If you're listening to wrong things, or listening to right things with the wrong attitude, I'm going to tell you, it will rip you off of truth and blessing. If you're faithful to receive God's word and share it, God will give you more. But if you don't let your light shine, you'll lose even what you have. What the disciples didn't realize is faith has to be tested before it can be trusted. Let me say that again. Faith has to be tested before it can be trusted. I'll let you in on a little secret. Satan doesn't care how much truth you learn or how much you know from the Bible. He's fine with that. Just as long as you don't live it out in your life. That's what he loves. People say they're a born-again believer. They say they've given their lives to Christ. But they're not living it out in their life. As one commentator put it, truth that is only in the head is purely academic and will never get into the heart until it's practiced by the will. You will never have the kind of faith you need until you use it in the experiences of everyday life. That's what faith is all about. It's about the soil of our hearts. And we have to keep that soil soft so that we can continue to receive the seed of God's word. That's where the growth comes. That's where the fruit comes. That's where God's able to do things in and through us. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us, Lord. And Father, I pray for everyone that's listening to this teaching that we would examine our hearts and that we would look and see of what soil our heart is made of. And God, whatever changes we need to make, that we would make these changes and that we would totally surrender our hearts open to you and to your word. We love you, Father, and we praise you. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.